Hey, what's going on, Redemption Community Church? It's so good to see you all. My name is Dan Stauffer, and I have the honor and privilege of serving my lead pastors, Pastor Matt and Sarah Keller, right here in Fort Myers, Florida, at Next Level Church. And my job is that I am the Next Level Relational Network pastor. The Relational Network exists to pastor ministry leaders and couples so that they can lead healthy and high-impact churches. And your church, Redemption Community Church, is one of those churches that I have the privilege to help to care for. And not only that, but I am one of your overseers. As a church, you have overseers that help to pastor you and pastor your pastor. So what that means is that I am very in tune with what's going on in the lives of your pastors, Jeremy and Amy, and their three boys, and your church. And I get to pray for them regularly. I get to counsel them, to guide them, and to walk with them through the high times and the low times of life and ministry. And so that's why I'm here. Actually, I was going to be with you guys all in person this weekend, but as you know, we're in the midst of a crisis, and I'm not allowed to really leave either my house or the studio. And so this is fun for me to be able to record a message for you today. And Pastor Jeremy actually asked me to launch a brand new series for Redemption. And the series is called God, I Look to You. I want you to say that wherever you are right now. Maybe turn to the person next to you. Hopefully you're 6 feet apart, but just turn to somebody or just say it out loud. God, I look to you. God, I look to you. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we launch this brand new series of how to look to God. This is what my message is for you today, is how to look to God in crisis. And this is a crazy time that we're in right now. I mean, when you talk about crisis and you talk about how crazy it is, we're all locked up in our houses, right? We're so close in proximity, and many times it feels like it's even hard to breathe at all. We're all homeschooling parents. You're homeschooling your kids right now. And if you're anything like me, at the Stauffer Academy, we just reinstated corporal punishment. Come on, it's back, baby. I don't know if my kids like it, but I mean, actually, two of our students actually were suspended from school, and one of our teachers was just fired for drinking on the job. I won't tell you which teacher it is, but seriously, I mean, it is crazy. We're putting on weight because we're eating like crazy. I actually need to learn to figure out how to practice a little social distancing from my refrigerator and my pantry. Literally last week, just a few days ago, there was 12 different boxes of cereal in my pantry. Can anybody relate? I mean, it's crazy. It really is a crazy time. And in all seriousness, it's crazy not just for homeschooling our kids and figuring out school online, or if you're a student figuring out how to do school online. It's not just crazy for that. It's crazy because, I mean, we're in a crisis, and many of us maybe have been facing some health issues. You probably know somebody that has contracted the virus, and maybe even worse. If you're like me, you might even know somebody or very closely related to somebody that's passed away from the coronavirus. It's a scary time. It's a very scary time, and a scary time financially. Some of us we've been laid off or furloughed. We've lost our job. We've lost our income, and the checks that our government have promised haven't come yet. And it's a scary, scary time. And not only that, but it's a difficult time for us relationally right now, isn't it? I mean, we're home, we're in close proximity 24/7 with our kids. Typically, spouses, we have some distance, right? We go to school or go to work, and we come back, and there's extended time away, and then we come back. But yet right now, it's 24/7, nonstop. We're in each other's worlds, and we're experiencing some difficulty. But yet God is calling us and wants us to look to Him. God wants us to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And as church people, which most of us probably are if we're on here right now, most of us are probably church people, we know that we should look to God, right? Even if you're unchurched, maybe you're what many call de-church, which means you used to be a part of a church and you're not anymore. And maybe you're just on here checking out Redemption Community Church. Maybe a friend invited you, and I hope they did. And I hope you're having a great experience with us today. But even all of us, whether we're churched or unchurched, we kind of know where to look to God, especially in crisis. That's actually when most of us do look to God, is when things start falling away, and we'll throw out a prayer and we'll invite God back in. But it's for many of us, it's not really the motive of our heart isn't to truly look to God. The motive of our heart is to ease our pain. We're trying to stop the crisis. We're trying to slow down the chaos, right? But the truth is, not only do you and I struggle looking to God in crisis, but prophets in Scripture did too. Leaders in the Bible had a difficult time really keeping their eyes fixed on God in the midst of crisis. One of those, if you have your Bible, you want to grab it. One of those that I actually want to look at today, he's considered a minor prophet. And I don't know if he's minor just because his book isn't as big as some of the others. But his name is Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is a minor prophet in the Old Testament. You can find him if you're reading through, kind of flipping through the pages of your Bible. It's Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is pronounced, if you have a cat, which I hope you don't, because cats, no one should have a cat. But if you did, and if you've ever seen a cat cough up a hairball, that's how you say his name. Habakkuk, that's how you say it. A little fun there for us. But take a look at this. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 16, he's in a crisis. He got some news maybe like many of us have received. He's heard some things. He's followed the CDC. He's watching Fox News or CNN, and he's on it nonstop. And look what he says. He said, I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. How about you? When is the last time you heard something, you were thinking about something, fear gripped you so much that you're trying to talk, And your lips are quivering, you're shaking, you're trembling. He says that his legs literally gave way beneath him. Have you ever had that happen? You heard some news and you literally almost lost your balance for fear, for trembling. He says, I shook in terror. I mean, that's crazy. When you think of how Habakkuk is describing what's going on in his life, this terror. This, he says, I've been shaking. He goes on, and here's why he's shaking. He heard some horrible news. He heard a horrible crisis, but then he also started seeing some of the results of it. It's just like you and I. We heard about this coronavirus, and for a while it was just out there. It was distant from us, and it's on another continent. It's another part of the world, and we heard about it, but then it started getting closer and closer and closer, and it wasn't just the virus that we were concerned about. It's the result of it. Not only are there health concerns and health risks right now and fear of contracting a virus, but we're also finding financial struggle. There's the virus, but then there's the result of us not being able to go to work. And that's exactly what Habakkuk describes here. He goes on, he says, the figs have no blossoms. I know that it's hard for us to relate to that, but he goes on, no grapes are on the vines. The olive crop fails. So imagine this, that there's no paycheck coming in. The savings account that we have, it's gone. The stocks that we were putting our hope in to provide for us, they're gone. That job we just got at Sky Zone or Starbucks or the grocery store, it's gone. Can't even hang out with our friends anymore. We were doing really well in school, and now I'm online and I can't figure it out and I'm starting to get bad grades. I was planning on going to college. I had just visited a school and now I can't even go. I mean, he's going on. He listed fields lie empty and barren. The flocks die in the fields. Even what I did have is not working anymore. And then he finishes up that the cattle barns are empty. Our savings, everything is gone. God, how do I look to God? How do I keep my eyes fixed on God in the midst of a crisis? Well, I want to use an illustration that we actually use for churches, and we use this all the time when we're helping churches figure out how to grow and how to recognize when there's downtime, that it's not necessarily dead time or destructive time. But I think this illustration, we call it the S-curve, and I'm going to draw it for us because I think it really helps us to understand what takes place in us spiritually and emotionally when we're in a crisis, and how we're to look to God. And so imagine this S-curve is your spiritual growth, your spiritual life. And for some of us, we would find ourselves maybe up here. We're high on our relationship with God. We're pursuing God. We're on the mountaintop. I mean, it's even in this crisis, we're like, man, it's good. God is so good. But for some of us, we're down here. We're in this low place where we find ourselves struggling, distant from God. And every one of us that has said yes to relationship with God, we know what it's like to experience being right with God, or as the Bible describes, righteous. It means right standing, able to come into God's presence without the sense of guilt or inferiority. And it's amazing. We prayed to God, acknowledging our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. And we came to a place of believing that Jesus is His Son, that He died on a cross, that He was buried in a tomb, and that He rose again 3 days later. We just celebrated that last week on Easter, right? We know what it's like to acknowledge and to believe. And also, we confess with our mouths that we're a follower of Jesus, that we're one of God's sons or one of God's daughters. And we did all of that, and everything started working great for us. We started climbing, started moving up this hill. We started really pursuing God, and it was great. We found ourselves kind of climbing up. Everything's going, when we did that and we had God's hand on our life, it was amazing. We prayed a prayer, and we actually knew that we heard God. We heard His voice. We sensed His hand on our life, and there's nothing better than knowing that you're in the presence of God. There's nothing better than knowing that you're in the center of God's will. A new song dropped on Spotify from our favorite artist, and we lit up and we were so excited. And maybe you've been watching some of the things on social media, on Instagram Live, and you, one of your favorite artists, maybe it's Johnny Swim, and you see them writing songs, and they pulled you up and wanted to hear the story of your life, and it was awesome. And everything's going great. That test that you barely studied for in algebra, you got a great grade. Things are going really well for you. Starbucks stock that you picked up at $59.88 a share is climbing. It's well over $70 a share right now. And you're like, man, it's good. Things are going great for me right now. You got a perfect shot over and over again on Golf Clash. You got a 10-game win streak. And life is good, right? Life is really good. A new season of Mandalorian just dropped on Disney Plus. Wait, it didn't. But I know that's going to be a good day. But when we're right with God, it seems like everything's right. Seems like everything, not to say that everything's perfect, but when we can sense His presence, things are good. We find ourselves climbing. We find ourselves moving up. But things start dropping, don't they? Things start declining a little bit. There's no new songs. We got that D in algebra that we actually really deserved. And though we at one point were climbing, we find ourselves and what like we like to call a free fall, has symptoms of chaos, symptoms of fear, symptoms of anxiety. All hell literally starts feeling like it's breaking loose. We've exhausted everything. And yeah, to have a little fun, there's no new series on Netflix. We've exhausted every original Netflix series, and we're just scrolling trying to find something new, and there's nothing there, right? I mean, that's silly, but I mean, it gets worse. It gets worse when our family and our friends, they start coming up and telling us that they've lost their job or their marriage is on the brink. They don't know if they're going to make it. Started struggling physically. And we've been praying, and it doesn't feel like God's listening at all. And this is exactly where Habakkuk found himself. Actually, in chapter 1, just a few words prior to him calling out and talking about how horrible his life is and the fear that he's having and all the bleak existence that he's in. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? God, I'm calling out to you." He says, "Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save." He's like, God, I'm praying, I'm calling out. God, at one point everything was going great, and now I'm dropping, and I'm in this place, and I'm screaming for help, God, but you don't listen, God. I'm calling out, I'm crying, God. You don't hear. There's violence everywhere around me, God, and it just seems like you don't care. And I love this, though. God does not allow Habakkuk's prayer to just hover out there without him responding to it. And so God responds to Habakkuk in the fifth verse, the second part of the fifth verse. He goes, "For I am doing something, Habakkuk. I'm doing something in your own day." Right now, in real time, God is saying, "I'm working for you. Something you would not believe, even if it had been told you." Isn't it interesting that God promises that He's working even when it doesn't seem like He's working? And it's easy, maybe when things are going well, to hold on to a promise like that. But when we find ourselves in chaos, dropping down, it's hard to keep our eyes fixed on God. And this is where Habakkuk finds himself. So what do we do? What do we do when we find ourselves dropping right here? Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people do. Two things. For some of us, as followers of Jesus, when we start kind of dropping down into this chaos, we do everything we can to pull back up. We want to revert back up, and we do everything we can. It's almost like we're holding on. We're like, God, I got to hold on, God. I got to hold on to who you are. I'm going to deny. And so one of the things that we do is denial. We find ourselves denying the chaos, and we find ourselves just trying to hold back up, just to hold up kind of cling back up to the top. No, it's not as bad as it looks. We deny the existence of the trouble down here in this area, this cavern of emptiness, this cavern where it feels like there's no hope and there's no help. We don't want to acknowledge reality. We want to deny reality and just try to go back up here and hold on to what was. So some of us struggle with denial. Instead of, God, I look to you, we deny our problems and we just try to go right back up to the top right here. And then some of us do what we call in the church growth world, we doom loop. We find ourselves either in denial or we doom loop. And what that means is here when we doom loop, we're going right back to the way life was prior to Jesus. We fall away from God altogether. We might throw a prayer up here and there. We might call out to God every once in a while and say, God, help me, God, help me. And we cry out and we hear God's promise. But we don't follow through. And so option one is denial. Option two is the doom loop. But I want you guys to know there's a third option. Turn to someone, say it out loud. There's a third option. Come on, someone say there's a third option. Habakkuk did something very risky. And for most of us, extremely scary, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to continue to push through this chaos. It doesn't make sense to push through here, to push through the trouble, to press into the pain. When we're in crisis, it doesn't make sense to do that. It makes more sense to either deny it or to doom loop. But there's a third option, and the third option actually gets us to a higher height spiritually. There's a third option that will bring us up to where God wants us to be, where we can encounter God in a greater way. There's a third option that pushes us through, and it's an option of faith. It's an option of, God, I look to you even when there's chaos, even when there's crisis. The third option is a decision, and it's a decision that Habakkuk made that you and I can make. Habakkuk made this decision, and it wasn't because he was a prophet. It wasn't because he was a great giant in Scripture. It was simply because he was a son of God. And you and I need to know that if we will take this third option that I'm about to share, if we'll take this third option, God will look at you as a son or daughter of great faith. Of great faith. When you and I don't deny our problems or revert back to doom loop, back to what was old, when we decide, you know what, God, I'm going to keep myself fixed on you. Not only am I going to just do all the right things, because that's what denial does. Denial will just keep doing all the right things and ignore the chaos, try to hold on. But God say, no, don't deny it. Acknowledge the trouble, but also acknowledge your faith in God. God, I look to you. Habakkuk made a decision, and he decided to look to God no matter what. He decided to make the jump, and that's what we have to do, because the spiritual growth, it's not connected. There's this place of chaos. It's a free fall. And it's full, it can be fear-gripping, just like Habakkuk described. My lips quivered, my legs gave way. One translation says, rottenness entered into my bones, like I felt decay. I felt like giving up. There's this freefall chaos, like everything is lost. It feels like we're all going to die in this thing. And God says, no, if you'll press through. And that's what Habakkuk did. He said, I'm going to press through. He said, God, even though, say that phrase, even though it's difficult, even though it's scary, even though there's lack, God, I look to you. You see, I left out part of that verse when we looked at it before, when he was talking about the grapes, no grapes on the vine and the olive crop failing. I left something out. And what I left out is that Habakkuk over and over declared before he said those statements, he said that phrase, even though. Look at it with me. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms. Even though the grapes aren't on the vine anymore. Even though the olive crop fails. Even though the fields lie empty and barren. Even though the flocks die in the fields. Even though the cattle barns are empty. God, I look to you even though it doesn't make sense. I look to you. And look what he says. He goes on. Habakkuk finishes that whole phrase of even though, even though, even though, and he says this, yet, even though all of that's happening, yet God, I will look to you. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He's saying, I'm in chaos, but I'm keeping my sights on God. I'm pushing through the pain. I'm pressing into the difficulty. Even though it's stressful, I see God on the other side of this. Even though it's hard, yet I see God as my strength. He goes on, he goes, he makes my feet sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. God, I look to you. You see, Habakkuk chooses to press through the difficult time with his eyes fixed on God. He says, God, even though things may be difficult, I look to you. And the reason I look to you, look at this, the reason I look to you, God, is because I can trust you. I can trust you, God, because you're my joy, not my circumstances. I can trust you, God, because you're my salvation, not my bank account. God, I can trust you because you're my strength. You're my strength. You're the one that gives me strength, not my health. God, I can trust you because you're my stability, not my friendships, not my relationships. And God, I can trust you because, God, you're my promotion, not my job or my career. You see redemption? That's what it means to look to God. God, I look to you, and what God wants to see happen is that we will, if we'll press in to him, if we'll lean in during this very difficult time, but keep our eyes fixed on God, I'm telling you, we're going to land on the other side of those tracks. And not only will we land, but because we kept our eyes fixed on God, we're going to rise up to a higher place because we looked to God. So redemption, what about you? We have three options today. God, I look to you in crisis. Will you? Will you look to God? Or will you live in denial? Like you're not in trouble. Everything's fine. God, you're so good. And you just keep pretending. Will you doom loop and revert back? Or will you take the third option today with me and say, God, no, God, I look to you. I look to you. I keep my eyes fixed on you. Come on, let me pray for us today. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the end of the story of Habakkuk is a man that is experiencing trouble and difficulty. Fear has gripped him, all kinds of chaos, but he chooses to keep his eyes fixed on you. And God, I pray that for your church right now. I pray that for every man, woman, boy, and girl listening, watching, experiencing this message right now, God, that they will look to you, that they will press through the pain, they will keep their eyes fixed on you because you, God, are their help. You, God, are their hope. And Father, we thank you for that. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.